You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
See, I wasn't lying already. Even in the intro, I'm talking out of turn. Portugal and Spain, 2 minutes in, there's a yellow card. Ronaldo goes down. Is that in the penalty box? It is. It's a penalty kick for Cristiano Ronaldo as Portugal is about to maybe go up 1-0. Ooh, it's a huge game, and this is not even in the second minute as Ronaldo's about to get in there.
Trash talking.
Look at the goalie sitting
trash
in front
talking
of the ball.
Trash talking.
Oh, my. See, for you that don't follow soccer, this is huge. Trust me, two nations right now can't breathe. Sports Hangover Hour 2, live at Deuce McAllister's Old St. Kitchen and Tap. Gus Cott, Gil Brian, and Ola East join the intern and Jay Hardgrave, and welcome to the weekend, Mr. Jay.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying. Fun. Looking forward to the weekend.
It is the weekend. Welcome. Happy Father's Day weekend. We've been tying that in as well. We'd love to hear your stories if people would like to chime in as to, something that maybe dad has done in the past that got you started with the team or sports related. We got some calls earlier today about that. Love to hear from you guys when it comes to that as well on social media. At ESPN Radio NOLA, 800-998-1003. And as we said, just as that was starting, it was a penalty kick for Ronaldo and Jay Hargrave.
He nailed it.
Goal! 1-0.
Bad news for the king
Spain.
And queen of Spain who are
they're,
in Louisiana.
Yeah, they're in town. So if there's traffic in and around the area, and you see a lot of police, which
don't
I
don't tell them
into,
they're losing 1-0.
It's the Royals. The king and queen are here. But look, Spain is a team that's favored to win. So Portugal, Ronaldo, Messi with Argentina, the two biggest stars, Neymar with Brazil as well.
Only 5 minutes in.
That are going.
Plenty
no, I know, but
back.
That's huge. That is huge. But this is a game that I've been looking forward to watching as well, looking forward to it.
Got
Argentina
the TV's
and Iceland
up.
Tomorrow. And Iceland's the favorite of a lot of American fans, Brian, because as I can see the scowl on your face, you're still unhappy the Americans are not in the World Cup.
Not happy at all about that. It's fine because, I mean, I have a rooting interest in the Germans winning it all.
Okay, so you're going with Germany. JD, are you watching anybody?
All I got to say is we won the gold medal in curling this year. So, that you know, the Jay fact that we're not in soccer,
The gold medal in curling.
You can't have everything. We've got curling, now we got to work on soccer.
Okay, easy enough. 800-998. There it is. I don't know if I can say it that loud, all that long.
Can that you? Loud?
Not long. Loud, definitely.
Loud,
I just don't know if I can say it as long when it comes to that as well. 800-998-1003 if you can chime in as well on social media at ESPN Radio NOLA. Again, just some instances that you and dad probably have on this Father's Day weekend that remind you of why maybe you got into sports and things of that nature. I'd love to hear that from you. I talked about it earlier in the show, going to Tiger Stadium early on. Kicking field goals, throwing passes with dad. I can't wait to go in the near future with Carver and dad to Wrigley Field. I want that photograph so badly. Looking forward to doing that as well. So we've touched on all of that. 800-998-1003 and at ESPN Radio NOLA. Also the big news in hour one. Apparently Kawhi Leonard's people are letting it be known out there. He wants out. Lakers are his preference. How does this sort of, have ripple effects with the NBA draft tomorrow because, again, the Lakers are nowhere near a championship contending team, right?
No.
Do we all agree with that, Brian?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for him to say that's the preference, logical conclusion and deductive reasoning means that somebody else is going to the Lakers with Kawhi Leonard. Because Kawhi Leonard to the Lakers right now, is that a championship team?
Just with Kawhi, no.
Just with Kawhi?
No.
No. And especially because the Lakers would have to trade players.
Right.
You understand what I'm getting at? This is why we're saying LeBron's probably going there. The only reason we're saying that is because if Kawhi Leonard wants to be traded to the Lakers then have to move Brandon Ingram, whether it's Ball, I mean, talented players, you know.
Somebody's going.
Somebody and up. Salary.
And so they're definitely not, they're not a playoff team with Kawhi and Bumps.
Right.
So other people must be thinking about going there. Join the intern. You found it.
I saw this 3 days ago from Andrew Bogut. Have the popcorn ready for this offseason NBA free agency dramas. Don't be fooled. Most big deals are already done verbally. More super teams are cometh.
We're going to discuss whether or not that's good or not.
And he plays for the Lakers.
We did during the break. Jay disagrees. Jordan disagrees. I think me and Brian agreed to a point as to why I think it might be a good thing. 800-998-1003. Travis wants to chime in. Thanks for calling the Sports Hangover, man. What you got?
Hey, I'm from Born and Raised in New Orleans. I heard you talking about, you know, giving a shout out to the dads and things like that.
Yeah, man.
My grandfather used to work at Bayou Berry a few years ago. It closed out. I don't mean to play the whole race card or anything like that, but my grandfather was one of the few black people that were there working. And every morning as a kid, I used to get up. We used to go to the donut shop. He used to give me donut holes and he used to go to the golf course. And I learned golf through my grandfather that way. I used to change pillowcases, find out about golf, you know, the draw, the fade, all of those things. And my grandfather was able to teach me. And a lot of people, and now that I have a son, I have a 1-year-old now. And, you know, I just think, you know, I have his little golf club. He passed away a few years ago. And I see my son walk over to the golf clubs and he'll actually, you know, babble at the golf clubs. And I'm eager to that day when I can actually teach my son what it was, you know, what golf is and how to play it and whatnot.
Man, that's a tremendous story, Travis, man. It got me choked up, man. You know, that's the thing. And that's kind of like I said, it's what makes it so special even with me when I was thinking about it early on is that I remember just from the simplest things of right there in the front yard throwing a pass and running routes with dad or, you know, teaching me how to hold the bat and do all those things to, you know, actually going to games and doing that. But you're right. I mean, I was just thinking about it in sporting events, but just maybe even learning the sport like you're saying, man, that's something that you'll always have, man, and to be able to pass that along. Like I said, mine's, you know, 18 months. He made 18 months this June, and I've never played soccer. I'm horrible at it, believe me. But Travis, I gave him a ball, and the kid's like just kicking it around the house, and he loves to play it. And so I'm now having to learn the sport and watch it because he's gravitating towards it. But dude, it's so much fun. I'm like, I get such a kick out of just watching him in the yard. And I'm sending, you know, videos and pictures to these, you know, my friends who probably stop doing that. But I just, it's like, I'm like, I love seeing that, you know?
Yeah, I totally understand that. Like I said, I'm eager for the moment, and you know, it's always a great moment. I always have flashbacks about it. You know, it's the same that the golf course couldn't, you know, stay up. I mean, it eventually had to go out of business, and you know, that's kind of the change in the ways of almost a South. I mean, we're kind of fading away from golf, but baseball is thriving down here. So, you know, it's always good. You know, I pass by it, and when I pass by it, I always look, and I said for prayer. And, you know, I just thought it was always a cool story, you know. I learned golf through my grandfather, you know. He's the only person that works at that golf course that knows golf.
That's awesome, man. Thank you for sharing that with us, Travis.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Yeah, for sure, man. Happy Father's Day weekend.
Yeah, that's, you know, we talked earlier in the show about how, you know, the lack of male role models, yeah. But there Travis got to learn it from his grandfather, and you gravitate to what you see. For me and my father, it was football, baseball, basketball. For Travis, it was golf. You can hear the excitement in his voice of wanting to teach his kid about golf, and that's that.
Years old, this was 1991, so you kind of lose that. And at the same time, I also lost my uncle who moved to Beaumont, Texas, and I didn't get a chance to have that around for a while. So it's definitely, it plays a big part in your life. Luckily for me, I did have others that I can gravitate towards and kind of get into sports, and of course here we are now.
Yeah,
you know, Brian says it's exactly right. I think too many guys, you know, I guess in the restaurant business, I've gotten too many forms from government officials saying this person owes child support. I don't understand how a guy can create a child and not want to be a part of that child's life. And I don't think guys understand the damage that they do when they don't have any kind of part in their kids' lives.
Right.
If there's guys out there who are in that role, make it right. Your kid needs a father figure in his life. We were just talking about Kellen Winslow. His dad was in his life. Last week when we did the show, we're reading stories about Kellen Winslow facing burglary charges. Today we're reading charges about rape charges.
Yeah, exactly.
And he had a father figure in his life. Yeah. And it can still go wrong. So guys out there, you know, there's a reason why they celebrate Father's Day. You play a huge role in your child's life.
800-998-1003 on ESPN Radio Nola if you'd like to chime in and, you know, give us a story like Travis just did. Truck chimed in as well. And, there's so many different stories that you can get into. But I love to hear stuff like that. I think it's cool to hear that. This individual learned the game of golf.
It is.
Through somebody like that. So, hey, I know there's stories out there of the day that maybe Garrett Heartthrob Hartley kicked that field goal. You're in the dome with your dad, or even watching Tracy Porter pick off that pass, you know, and you and your dad are high-fiving and watching the game. Did you grill? Did you go to Miami? I love to hear something like that from you as well as we hit the first break here in hour number two when we come back. Got to talk about the black and gold a little bit. Jay, it's interesting. We had Jordan, the intern, go and ask just a few fans, you know, what were they looking forward to this season? Is there a player they're looking forward to? Is there something that they're excited about? Because we've been talking this week, and I'll ask you the question. I'll get your answer after the break. Is there a player in this team more than any other you can't wait for game day to watch? Okay? I'm going to ask you that. Was there one player in particular you cannot wait to see a snap take place? Offense, defense, you can either go special teams. You can have fun with that. It's the Sports Hangover. We're live at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap, 132 Royal Street, on ESPN New Orleans. Inside my car, I got pictures, got candy, I'm a lovable man, and I can take you to the nearest star. I'm your vehicle, baby. U.S. Open round number two. Dustin Johnson is your leader at 4 under par. He is the only player under par as Ian Poulter is now on the course. Through two, he's 1 over on the day. Everyone else is over par. Tiger Woods is going to miss the cut. It's projected at 7, right, at 7 over, and he's at 10 over, and his day is done. So he's done, guys. He's gone. A lot of players of note projected to miss this cut here. Yeah, it's Tiger Woods is, I'm sorry, it's projected at 9 over, so he just missed it by a stroke.
Yeah, but that's the second time they've moved it.
Yeah,
I mean, if they move it one more, he's in.
he's
pulling for everybody to play horrible today.
Well, yeah. Well, right now, if you only have one player under par, maybe that might actually happen. You never know.
If the scores are bad today, he might get in.
Yeah, but Bubba Watson, Rory McIlroy, I mean, Jason, these are all guys that are missing the cut.
Are you guys okay with this?
I'm
like seriously upset by this. And I know, you know, I don't want to see guys going out there and throwing up, you know,
Sergio Garcia,
19 under par, but still, man, right. This is ridiculous. You can't have some of the top names in golf not make it. I mean, what are you going to do for TV ratings-wise? Because I don't care who's playing on Sunday. I'm not watching it.
I mean, Ernie Els was 9 over par today.
Yeah. It's one of those
18 holes.
It's one of those. This seemed like a good idea when we thought of it.
No.
And once it was implemented,
I don't think it ever seems like a good idea. Like, make it difficult and in the rough and like stay straight. But like to Charlie's point, when you have the greens to where you hit and it's near the pin and it rolls 20 feet away, that's not golf to me.
But what do we talk about in sports? The overreaction. And you saw low scores last year. So they overreact instead of just tweaking it a little bit. They overreact and go to the opposite extreme and create another problem.
No doubt. 800-998-1003 if you'd like to chime in. Give us your take. The Father's Day question we asked as well. And also, you know, your thoughts if you're an NBA fan. What do you think of Kawhi Leonard? Apparently his people making it known out there. I want to go to the Lakers. Again, I don't think you say that unless you think somebody else is coming with you to the Lakers to make you a contender. You're not going to leave San Antonio.
And or 80 mil,
yeah,
by the way.
80 mil or perennial playoff situation to hopefully just rebuild there. There's no way. So somebody has told them they're going there. I think it's LeBron.
I just have a problem with it. Doesn't match up. LeBron can go this year. San Antonio is not going to gift wrap everything to the Lakers. That's a team in the Western Conference. They're going to try to make it as hard and as profitable for themselves as they can. So I just don't see this being a clean move. LeBron signs, then Kawhi gets traded. I don't think this is going to be as much of a slam dunk as everybody thinks.
Yeah.
I think there's too much smoke here for that not to be a fire. I think if it's not going to be the Lakers, it's going to be the Boston Celtics or somebody like that is going to come a calling, and San Antonio may pull the plug, because I think in a instance like with the Boston Celtics, I think they're willing to gamble that if we can just get him here and give him a run at the championship in the East, where LeBron is likely to be out of the East, and it's only the Boston Celtics, maybe the Philadelphia 76ers, but mainly the Boston Celtics, I think you can convince Kawhi that maybe you stay where you are.
I like how Joni Intern brought this up, too. If LeBron leaves the East, Paul George doesn't go back over there, Melo doesn't go back, everyone stays in the West. I mean, the Eastern Conference
is garbage.
Then again, the West would be, see, here's the thing. Is it a good or bad thing to have more super teams?
Bad.
Because great. Here's why I say, at first I was like, it's bad, it's terrible. But what did it force the Pelicans to do?
Force them to get great in the hurry.
Right?
Right.
I mean, you look at the starting lineup this year. DeMarcus Cousins, all-star.
Right.
Jrue Holiday, all-star.
Right.
Rajon Rondo, all-star.
Right.
Anthony Davis, MVP candidate.
Right.
Four out of your starting five.
Right.
It was a great ride, wasn't it?
It was fun. Okay, now that you did that, name me the Orlando Magic starting lineup.
No. Okay, so you're saying that it hasn't a bad effect to teams that don't play games.
It's great if you've got the all-star
team.
Don't
play the ball, right.
The teams – not everybody can have five all-stars on their team.
Absolutely.
So
there's only so many all-stars to go around.
I think it makes the draft important because if you have to pick
– To your point, though, the draft isn't important.
I know, but –
And that's something that the CBA and the league
Jay
has got to
Jay just brought
do.
Up saying Orlando.
Right.
Who do they have? So the draft's going to be more important to them.
And I also asked last hour to give me three of the top five players in the NBA draft.
Yeah, but you could find a diamond in
the
rough.
No, but here's the problem,
Jordan. You could find a diamond
in the rough. I'm saying is you can't even name them. You can't even name the top picks.
DeAndre Ayton.
Here's the problem, though.
Mohamed Bamba.
Okay, because it's in front of you. That's why.
Marvin Bagley.
Look at him cheating as he's scrolling through.
Jaren
Say that
Jackson.
Again. Who?
Marvin Bagley.
Bagley. Yeah, but that's my point, though.
Same
I
thing.
Mean, that's and the, oh, by the way, what's next to them? Freshman.
So Jordan,
okay, because you get my point. Oh, you're counting on freshmen to build and to hope that you can eventually contend against super teams. It's not.
Well,
they need to fix that.
Here's the problem. It's twofold. Number one, I agree with Jay on the idea that okay, Orlando's not going to have a super team, so that's going to make them a little bit less relevant. But people forget that Golden State didn't buy a super team. They built one. They built it through the draft, and it took them a while to do so. Philadelphia 76ers, yeah, trust the process, but it took them a while until they got the right guys. So you don't have to go and buy a super team. You can build one if you know what you're doing, and that comes down to it. Steph Curry, 7th pick of the first round. Klay Thompson, 11th pick of the first round. Draymond Green, I think, was the 35th pick in the second round. If you know what you're doing, you can build yourself a super team. They only added KD 2 years ago.
But if the draft is not strong, all you're going to do is draft a superstar with the number one pick, and 5 years later, if the draft is not strong the next 2 years, that guy's going to leave and go join another super team, and you're going to have teams like Orlando and Memphis, because Mike Conley is not going to stick around Memphis and get his brains beat in every game. He's going to leave, and you're going to have about 7, 8, maybe even 10 teams that are terrible, and the owners are going to be losing money because the arenas are going to be dead.
Throw it out there, Jordan, the intern at ESPN Radio NOLA. Is super teams good or bad for the NBA? And put with the possibility, how about this, with the possibilities of perhaps more super teams be forming this offseason, is super teams good or bad for the NBA?
Okay,
tweet that out.
Here's the problem that I have, and believe me, Jay, I agree and I understand what you're saying. You're only going to have about 10 teams that have a legit shot, right? This is the NBA, not the NFL. That's all they've ever had is about 10 teams every year that have a legit shot. The Lakers and the Celtics own most of the championships in NBA history. You add in Golden State here and there. You add in a Chicago, maybe a San Antonio. But by and large, it's only about 4 or 5 teams that have a legit shot at the title. And this is every year. So if you're going to say that, well, super teams are bad for the NBA, then the NBA is bad for the NBA because you only have 6 that have a chance anyway.
Let me put it in terms that you can understand. Okay, you're a wrestling fan.
Yes, I am.
Are you paying top dollar to go watch Who's the number one superstar right now in WWE?
I would say Roman Reigns is probably that guy.
If Roman Reigns is fighting a guy that's 300 pounds, 40 years old, fat, wearing the one piece with the scraggly hair, half bald guy, mm-hmm. are you paying top dollar to go see that match?
But I don't.
Yes.
No, you're not.
You think it's like that? Okay, but here's
that's
my thing.
What Golden State Orlando is going to be.
You brought up Orlando. They tanked it. They tanked it when it had Shaq. They tanked it when it, that's on them. That's on them.
Wait.
The Western Conference, it's must-watch TV. It's playoff basketball almost every home game. When we were looking at the schedule towards the last month, Brian and I, we would have Dino on, and you on Friday were like, my goodness, look at the last
one. You can't lose a game.
Where are you winning? And we're like, dude, these games are hard. I think the league is a lot tougher than you think it is, even if there are some more special teams that get formed on there. So I don't know. I hear you're right.
Gus.
You're right. It does hurt on other elements of other teams that can't do it and don't do it, which is why I think maybe this brings into focus, guys, of maybe doing what you do in college baseball in the NBA here. If you think you're good enough to go in the draft and do that, go. If not, 3 years in, you know, like college baseball, to try to get these guys a little bit better that way. Because at some point in time, all these superstars that are forming super teams, they're going to be in their 30s to mid-30s.
Yes.
It's going to come to an end at some point, right? I mean, LeBron is not going to play forever. Melo is not exactly
correct.
Young. Chris Paul isn't young.
And injury-prone.
I mean, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, all these players aren't exactly totally young. So you are, like, to your point, you're going to start running out of a lot of those superstars that are going to form the super teams for a bit. So, you know, and again, Draymond's like, I'm not taking the pay cut.
Exactly.
He wants his money. Klay's going to want his money. It's going to come to an end, but I just think you gotta. I mean, again, you look at the draft right now, and who are you taking?
You just brought up two names, Klay Thompson and Draymond Green.
Right.
Did you know who they were in the draft when they got selected by the Golden State Warriors?
Exactly. But okay, you're talking about though, two players literally in the last 7 years.
Gus, that, there's been multiple other players.
I know, but you're talking about those guys potentially could, you know, be among the greatest of ever and on there. So, I mean, look, trust me when I tell you, second round picks, more often than not, do not make it. More often than not, don't. So I hear what you're saying.
I agree with you
you're
on
right.
that. I agree with you on that. But to say that this draft class has no one in it, you can't really determine that until 2 years down the line when okay. after everything's said and done.
Do this for me, and we'll talk about it during the break here. Pull up just on different tabs, okay? Pull up the last three NBA drafts. Pull up the last three NBA drafts on three different tabs, and we'll go through the top five. And let's see who's actually, you know, panning out.
If Klay Thompson is, according to rumors, willing to take less to keep the team together, if he's willing to sign for less, I could see a five-year stretch that everyone in the NBA is hoping that Golden State gets an injury because that's the only chance we got of winning the title.
You know, I can't always agree with that simply because I watched Houston, barring an injury, possibly be on the verge of knocking Golden State
yeah,
out.
Yeah, they should have.
I saw LeBron should
closer.
Have gotten eliminated in round one
yes.
of the playoffs
You're
last
right.
year. So
You're
I
right.
don't know.
Teams are closer, and that's what I'm saying, Jay. I think if you watch the NBA like we do pretty much every Tuesday and Thursday, anything on TNT I'm watching, the NBA is good. There's a lot of talented teams. It's a young team, to Jordan's point, that are building through the draft and got some nice young players. So, I don't think it's a bad aspect of it. It's going to make me watch more. Because here's the other thing. When those super teams come to your town, you're talking about the arena being empty in Orlando.
Right.
But when they come to Orlando, it's going to be packed.
Yeah, it's going to be packed. But how many people want to watch Golden State win by 50
they're
over
going
Orlando?
There to watch that.
How
they're
many people
going
want watch
to watch
that on
that.
TV?
They're going there to watch.
Ratings
it.
Are going to be in the garbage. When, nobody's given up
when,
anything that they're doing on a
when
Thursday
is the
night.
Smoothie King Center packed?
When but, the good teams come.
There you go.
No,
but it's only six times, maybe only six
but,
or seven teams
but
out
people,
the schedule.
But people want to watch them play.
If the Pelicans were a good team, then it doesn't matter because we watched the Pelicans in the playoffs have the
right.
second best rating in the playoffs
exactly
and they aren't
right.
packed during the year. And I think the Pelicans are one more
That's
star away
great
from that
point.
Being
But
a,
who
overall.
Wants to buy Orlando when they have no
you keep
superstars?
Bringing up Orlando. I, look, again, Orlando's got to put them together.
Okay, not Gus,
Orlando.
What about Orlando Memphis?
If we don't
what about
get
Phoenix?
Anthony Davis?
Memphis kind of did that to themselves
we
a little
might not
bit,
even
too.
Be in exactly, but they're in that boat right now, and they've got that's all they've got.
Well,
Memphis did it to themselves with bad contracts and bad player assessment.
We were
go.
Just lucky that we had Anthony Davis, or we'd be in that boat.
Memphis was a playoff team 2 years ago.
Sports Hangover continues next, live from Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap on ESPN New Orleans.
Everybody here is out of sight, but they don't bark and they...
World Cup game number 3 underway. The first one today was Iran beating Morocco 1-0, Uruguay over Egypt 1-0, and in the 33rd minute right now, you have Spain and Portugal 1-1. Portugal got in with a penalty kick by Cristiano Ronaldo in the 3rd minute of the game. He was taken down in a penalty box and got in. I did not see the Spanish goal.
I didn't either. We just looked up.
I just looked up. It was 1-1. Okay, there you go. Huge rivalry internationally between these two teams. So it's been a beautiful game to watch in front of us here at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap. Every Friday, we are joined by Mr. Vegas himself, Rafael Esparza, at VSI, Doc Sports, the way to follow on Twitter. Rafael, how are you today, man?
Pretty good. It's good that Ronaldo scored so I can show the highlight tonight to my wife, and I might have some luck tonight.
There you go. I love it. He was looking over my right shoulder, looking at the reflection at the game. I'm telling you, this is fun. Are you a huge World Cup fan?
Yes. I think this is one of the main reasons why we're having all this NBA plug right now. Because right now, all the NFL, Major League Baseball, they're right now that everything's World Cup, leading a lot of sports stories right. And stuff like that. I think that's why the NBA's blown up. You just said on the air, the NBA's taking a 100% page book out of the NFL and making all these, I don't want to say making all these stories up, but releasing all these stories up. Wow, what a shock that the World Cup started and all of a sudden all these news comes out in the NBA and NFL. So I'm not 100% blown away with all the stuff that's happening today with Kawhi Leonard. I think a lot of this stuff will work out. Mm-hmm.
Still think he stays with San Antonio?
No, I don't think he's – I thought he was very skinny on skin ice. We heard he was going to talk today. I was actually shocked that he went to the Memorial after the season and they had like a kind of a powwow. The whole Spurs family with Popovich, it had like a celebration of Pop's wife's mind. And I was actually shocked that I heard that Kawhi was there. So that gave me a little bit.
Yeah.
That gave me a little hope that he might stay there, but I think he is gone.
Wojnarowski of ESPN, .com, and ESPN, obviously. He tweeted 15 minutes ago, if Kawhi Leonard becomes available in trade talks, the Boston Celtics would be interesting in probing the Spurs about a deal. League sources tell ESPN, Boston inquired about a trade prior to February deadline. So they've been trying to go get him. I'm sitting there, I'm like, this is the team that's been in Eastern Conference Finals the last 2 years, and yet it's like they're not satisfied, happy. Gordon Hayward obviously was injured before. They got Kyrie Irving. He didn't finish it. If they're healthy, they're easily my favorite in the East. Why would you go get Kawhi Leonard?
Because I think they realize that there's some unhappy campers. I think Kawhi does not want to be there. So that I think they would need another superstar to replace that superstar. I think
Kyrie.
Kyrie, yeah. He's already come out and said he's not signing that extension. If you're Boston, bye. We don't want to deal with this again. See ya. We're going to get somebody else.
Okay.
But if Kawhi Leonard is going to Boston, does that make Kyrie Irving happy?
Maybe. I do think Kawhi wants to be – I don't think if he stays on that super team, I think he's going to be overshadowed, especially by next year with the comeback – And if they get Leonard, I think he's going to be over. He wants to be
that guy.
He wants to have shoe deals. He wants to be cereal boxes. He wants to be on
billboards. So he doesn't want to win a title.
Hence the movie Uncle Drew.
Yeah.
I got to ask this. What happens once Kawhi is traded? Where do the rest of the dominoes fall as far as like maybe the odds on saying, okay, well, Kawhi goes to Boston. Now what happens with LeBron and Paul George and, you know, even Fultz turn back to the Pelicans here with Boogie Cousins?
The worst day for today right now is your Paul George. Today was the worst day for you right now because now Kawhi just stumped all over your anything you had momentum of going to the Lakers. If you're Kawhi, you're like, okay, maybe I'll stay with Westbrook. Maybe I'll go to the East. Maybe I will go to Philadelphia, which I think Philadelphia is going to be a major player, not knowing now, hey, LeBron's not going to be here. We're going to be all in. Let's open up the checkbook.
Paul George to the Sixers would help him.
Yeah, so I think right now the worst day for anybody in the NBA was probably a PG-13.
Oh, he gave himself the nickname Playoff P. There you have it there. Does this affect the Pelicans in any way, shape, or form?
Because they're in the West. I think any other team, if you're not Golden State, and maybe now the Lakers, maybe now the Spurs, or whatever, yes, it does affect you. I know you guys are diehard Pelican fans. You guys live here and all that. You have, right. I don't want to say have to talk pride about them. But if you're a free agent, what's the main reason why they're coming here? Anthony Davis, I'm sorry, he's not always 100%. I know you guys had great playoff run last year. Boogie, he gone. I know there's a lot of good plug in here. But if you're a major, let's say Kawhi Leonard, or let's say I don't see the incentive coming to another Western Conference team as the Pelicans. I'm like, hey, I'm going to the East. It'd be a lot easier. Why would I want to battle everything in the West?
So you think Cousins is gone? You don't think the Pelicans re-sign him?
He's gone. He's gone.
Who do you think would be interested in him?
I'm hearing he wants 3 to 4 years, and I don't think the Pelicans want to give him a 3 to 4 year deal. He also had a bad day today because I thought the Lakers maybe would have gave him that 3 year deal just to come back home and play and stuff like that. I think here's another person that had another bad day today with LeBron and Kawhi Leonard being mentioned to the Lakers.
With that being said, Rafael, who do the Pelicans get to help out? Because they don't have a lot of cap space and they have to use Boogie pretty much as a trade chip, which you now saying that he's likely gone. Who can they put their sights on, if not a superstar, maybe another mid-tier guy?
Trevor Ariza. He wants to go to Golden State. I don't think Golden State can pay for him, but he's a nice scorer coming off. He can shoot the three ball, which you need to shoot the three ball when you come to Pelicans, or you're just not going to get any player time. There's a person I might want to look at, or maybe look at some people in the East. What's the backup point guard? What was his name from Boston that filled the role?
Rozier.
Yeah.
Rozier and Smart.
That'd be a nice combo to have as maybe a backup for a Rondo, or maybe Rondo coming off the bench.
I think Thursday draft night is going to be just teams trading up and down, don't you?
Every time I think it is, it's a bore fest.
Yeah.
I could see why it would be, but I can also see why it wouldn't be.
Who you got going number one overall?
Oh, come on, really?
I'm just not there.
It's the big guy.
DeAndre. Okay, well,
DeAndre.
It's the big guy. But I do like this guy, this young kid coming from overseas.
Do you think he comes, though? Because
yeah,
he's threatened to stay in Europe.
You had to announce what? I think it was Wednesday?
He did announce it. I missed that.
So with that being said, Rafael, what happens with a guy like Michael Porter Jr., who's kind of like he's starting to tell teams that maybe, you know, he's not going to take a second workout, or you can bring your doctors to the first workout. Like, what's happening with him considering he came off that back injury, tried to come back, now he has a hip injury.
Right.
And many people think the reason why he's starting to cancel these workouts is because he has a guarantee within the top 5 picks.
Yeah, I think that's what has to do with it. And I think he does have some injuries, but is he the biggest 3 or 4-leaf clover in the draft? If
really?
You can get him, and let's say he comes out healthy or stuff like that, he could be the steal in the draft, or he can also be the biggest bust in the draft, which we've seen in the NBA lately. Just ask the Cleveland Cavaliers with their first-round draft pick from the guy from UNLV. I'm just hoping my Chicago Bulls don't draft Trae Young.
That is the next name I was going to ask you, because that guy was the story of college basketball, and then towards the end, NBADraft.net has him third overall to Atlanta.
Oh, good. Phew.
Bulls, Mikal Bridges.
I like that. I just don't want the Bulls to get traded. No disrespect to Trae Young. I think if he wants to be as successful in the NBA, he needs to call J.J. Redick. He needs to call
J.J. So you think he's going to be a roles kind of like...
Yeah, I think he's going to be a role player, right. But I hated J.J. Redick coming out from a draft. This guy couldn't play defense. Oh, he was a spot-up shooter. But right. There's one kid in
the
NBA
that
turned himself into a pro shooter and plays great defense.
Good point.
So if I'm anybody that's that kind of caliber, I'm calling J.J. for a workout.
What turned this kid into Wile E. Coyote? Because he was basically the talk of college basketball.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, was it just the hype of...
It was the mouse, the guys that you guys work for. ESPN, May, Trae Young, who he is today.
Just over. The last thing that I saw is the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah, it was the media. It was the media.
I mean, it was Steph Curry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's Steph Curry.
It was the media. It was, the media made him who he is.
Speaking
today.
With Mr. Vegas, VSI Doc Sports, the way to follow Rafael Esparza over on Twitter. Quickly on football here, and I'll ask you about a little money in a bank.
Are you talking about spring practice?
No, just hear me out. It's a question that I'm asking here, right? Look, we seem to think the Saints have a little depth and athletic ability and things of that nature. I think they're going to be a good team. But what I was talking to him yesterday, Brian and Ole East, was I don't hear a lot of people talk about the Falcons or even the Panthers as being maybe Super Bowl contenders and things of that nature. Teddy Bruschi last week coming out saying, hey, the Saints could be a Super Bowl contender, things of that nature. What do you have winning the South, and where do you have Atlanta and Carolina? Do you see three teams from the South again going into postseason? I guess is what I'm trying to ask.
It's not that we don't disrespect this, the Falcons, the Panthers, the Saints. We just realize that's the toughest division in football. So
you
right
think
now,
it is.
Yeah, by far it's the toughest division in football. So we're scratching our head. An injury can make you go to first to last. A bad interception can make you go from first to last. That's why we're not really saying, oh, Saints got a lot of depth. They're Super Bowl contenders. Falcons have some depth. They're going to be Super Bowl. It's just three teams. And I think the Buccaneers are going to be a lot better than they were last year. So for us, we're just – We don't want to say anything because we don't want to look foolish, because right. I still think right now best football in division is your guys' division.
No kidding.
Easy. By far. Not even close.
Because, I don't see a lot of articles being written about the Panthers. I don't see a lot of things being written about the Falcons. Right? Not saying that it's not. I'm just, you know, when I do see stuff about the Saints, it makes sense, and it kind of goes back with what we're seeing. That's the only reason I'm asking. You know, like, what's that sense outside of here as to rest of the team?
Now, if you guys would have drafted Lamar Jackson, then you guys would be relevant. If you guys had Tom Brady, you guys would be relevant. No disrespect to your league,
no.
And Drew Brees is getting a lot older. You don't have that key marquee.
The story.
EA Sports video game cover player in this division.
This week, guys, if you, in reference to what Raphael's talking about, taking the majority of the first team reps this week in Baltimore, Lamar Jackson.
I don't see him starting over Flacco.
He won't start.
Here's what I'm thinking as to why it happened. I'm glad you just said that. John Gruden cut Christian Hackenberg, right? Mm-hmm. Like 3 weeks after they signed him. And he came out yesterday and I read it, and it's something that I sent you guys, and it's something to think about too. There's no time to develop these quarterbacks. There's no time in that. You don't have, as Ronaldo, did he just score again?
Yes,
Ronaldo with his second goal.
I might get some today. 2 days in a row. I'm going to have to save that goal clip for tomorrow.
So here's the thing. The thing about it, what you look at, right, is just the team snaps. He said he was the fourth quarterback there. We were joking with JT Barrett. I'm like, I don't know how this guy gets better. He gets two team drill snaps ever. There's a team period. Two. One's a handoff, the next is a pass, is a screen. How did he get better? So you almost have to redshirt him, injure him, put him on. I mean, there's no way you can come in and even sort of develop. And Gruden was saying, look, we're trying to change his style of motion and throwing, but there's no snaps for me to work with him, and it's hard. And he blames the CB and things of that nature. And it just goes to it. You know, when you look at Lamar Jackson, stuff like that, I think that's what we saw this week. Yeah. We saw this week, hey, we know what Flacco can do. I got Lamar for these 3 days. Take all the first string snaps now, because we know what Flacco can do come training camp. So I agree. I don't think he's starting over him. But to me, based off of what Gruden said, that was the Ravens saying, let's get him as much work as we can with ones now. Before, because once you get into training camp, Brian and I touched on it. It's 10 to 12 practices before their first preseason game.
That's because I don't understand why the NFL draft is such highly, we got this guy from the fifth round or sixth round. These guys can't even get on the field for practice, let alone why are we making such a big deal about day two of the NFL draft when these guys can't even get a helmet on in spring practices? It's all the NFL's fault for that one.
Is Flacco's contract coming off up? Do you know off the top of your head?
He just had a recently big
one. He's got two or three, but I think this is the last year. He would not be a Raven next year.
The closer to the end of his contract, the more work he's going to get, because they need to see if he is the guy that's going to replace him.
He won't be a Raven next year. They can get that money off the books.
Little money in the bank on Sunday. I'm already saying something interferes with the Rousey fight. No way she wins the title.
You know, I've been on a lot of shows this week with Money in the Bank talking about gambling, and I agree with that, but it came out over the weekend that Rousey's contract is a little bit over a year only in the WWE, because she wants to be a mom, and she's still got some movie stuff.
Really?
With reading that, I can see her maybe winning the title and then holding it down for a while. This is my prediction. She wins. Natalya backstabs her. And Natalya puts the briefcase on the line and beats her, and Natalya is the champion. And then they feud for a couple months, SummerSlam, blah 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 blah. That's my prediction. Right. Rousey wins, but she gets backstabbed by Natalya.
What do you have winning the men and women's ladder matches right there for the Money in the Bank briefcase? Who gets it?
SmackDown Live -140. I think the SmackDown Live gets the Money in the Bank, because I just think the feuds will be better. I think Samoa Joe at 5-1 wins it. He'll be a nice feud. I'm saying AJ Styles wins against Shinsuke
Nakamura.
And I think that feud goes AJ Styles and Samoa
Joe. For the ladies. You said Natalya?
It's Natalya. I think it's Natalya.
There it is. As people,
he didn't pick any of the jobbers like the Orlando Magic to win that.
The Magic a jobber team. That's terrible.
I was talking about the wrestlers.
That's a shame.
He didn't pick them, though, to win.
I'm not a father, and I'm not going to see you guys on Sunday probably, so happy Father's Day.
Thank you, man.
A father. I probably would never
be
a father.
I'm with you. I'm on your side.
Turn so shaking his
happy
head.
Father's Day to you too, guys.
Something we don't know about. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate it. Rafael Esparza, Mr. Vegas. He joins us on Fridays. We'll come back and discuss a little bit more on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Cruel to be kind means that I... Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Plenty to get into. As one of the things, Brian, that, you know, kind of look at as well with this NBA draft, it's just, I get it, and we're going to talk next hour when we kind of look at some of the players, really just kind of the top players. Jordan, you kind of brought up some of the drafts here. What years did you go back to?
I actually went back to 2010.
Wow. Okay.
So number one pick was John Wall by the Washington Wizards.
Okay.
2011, number one pick was Kyrie Irving by the Cleveland Cavaliers. 2012 was ours truly, Anthony Davis, your New Orleans Hornets. 2013, Anthony Bennett, Cleveland Cavaliers, bust.
Right.
Absolute bust.
2014, number one pick, Andrew Wiggins by the Cleveland Cavaliers. They made a right move trading him away. Number one pick, Karl Anthony Towns in 2015 by the Minnesota Timberwolves. 2016, number one pick, Ben Simmons, your Philadelphia 76ers. And 76ers again in 2017, Markelle Fultz, which they probably should have went with Jason Tatum.
Well, what's crazy is you are hearing this week that the GM that got booted out.
Yeah, Brian Colangelo.
Yeah, he overruled plenty of people in the Sixers organization saying pass on Fultz. And Fultz this year had a horrible year.
Yeah, but I still think it's too early to give up on him just right now. I don't think he should have been the first pick in the draft last year, but we're talking about a guy who was a lottery pick anyway. Don't give up on him just yet, and if you do, I'm pretty sure the Pelicans will take him for a second-round pick right about now, and they could use him and stash him away until he gets his confidence back.
So if you want to go back to saying that the draft isn't important, Gus, is that if that what you're saying?
I'm saying it's almost impossible to use the draft right now to build to try to beat any super team.
In 2010, Luke Babbitt was picked 16 before Eric Bledsoe at 18 and Trevin Booker at 23.
Okay.
That was in 2010. In 2011, Kawhi Leonard went 15 overall with Norris Cole going 28 and Jimmy Butler going 30. In 2012, Draymond Green.
35th pick.
35th pick overall.
You're scrolling a lot, though, is my point.
Exactly.
Yeah, but
you're talking about one or two players a year.
I mean, look, you're going to find somebody out of two rounds. But I hear you. But what I'm getting at is
if you have players every year, you should maybe do more research on those players.
Look, I think you're misinterpreting what I'm saying. I've said for a long, long time, and Brian knows this, I have no idea how in a sport that's so global like basketball, that is played so much around the world, has different leagues to choose from. You can't find 10 players that can turn your team around immediately. In the NFL, you have players in the first, second, third, fourth round that can come in and help your team immediately. Can be difference makers. I mean, I'm just saying there's players that aren't just the top two or three. And when you talk to an NBA coach, they will tell you you're lucky if you get 10 in the first round. And I'm just, that's why like, it shocked me because I am so used, and I think a lot of people are used and trained following football the way we do to seeing how teams build in the trade and things of that nature. Then you just look down the street and you can completely see how the general manager of the Pelicans has decided to build his team.
Well,
he would rather young veterans rather than rookies and rather than draft picks. I mean, basically he has zero value for first round picks and in the draft. So that ought to tell you something. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like, if you want to win now, you want to win quickly, it's definitely not that way. Now, you can look at the Sixers and trust the process, but like Brian's saying it, you ask fans to pay a pretty penny, now it's to your point, for a long time in hopes that that eventually works out.
That's exactly the problem. The price of the tickets keep going up, and you want them to be patient and watch your team get their brains beat in. Jordan, going back to your point about the draft, I think everybody at this table will admit Bill Walsh was one of the best coaches in the history of the NFL. He had a nephew who quarterbacked at BYU named John Walsh. John Walsh came out after his junior year because his uncle Bill Walsh told him he would be a first round pick. After seven rounds of the draft, John Walsh wasn't drafted. And no one has ever heard of John Walsh again.
I didn't even know.
It happens. The draft is very difficult. I would like to see the NBA and the NFL go to what baseball does. You do not have to declare. you can sit back, watch where you were drafted, don't like it.
That's the number one thing, because right
Watson
now,
from LSU right. can sit back and say, hey, I thought I was going in the top five. Yep. I'm going back to LSU. Thanks for drafting me. Goodbye.
I like that. Brian, that's something I know you've touched on too, in that if you could come back, if you don't like where you get drafted, I think this changes the ball game all the way around.
Absolutely, but I think the main problem when it comes to the NBA and the draft is, as that's concerned, is the idea that most of the players going into the draft don't have the fundamental skills to begin with, and I mean that starts at lower leagues. They just don't have it. The game has changed now to where you have to be more skilled than you have to be just big and physical, and the guys just don't have the skill set to pull it off.
Which is why I always said, I mean, if they can go to college and they can go play for some of these schools and some of these coaches, man, in these programs, look, I think there's something of value to be able to get, from the standpoint of being able to be in the NCAA tournament and things of that nature. You know what I'm getting at? I mean, to be able to go and make your run, to do those different tournaments, to be coached under these coaches that have all this experience, I think you can benefit from that. Now, I've talked to a coach that coaches in college that was an NBA coach, and they're like, no way. Give me that guy now. I'm an NBA coach. I know what to do with him. I just disagree with him.
Yeah, I don't agree with
that. Because you don't have that time. Because guess what his job is depending on?
If
the Pelicans win or not, right?
Yeah,
where is he going to spend most of his time? Chuck Diallo or Anthony Davis?
Anthony Davis, no question. My job is to win.
I'm not saying there aren't coaches that spend time with Shaq and stuff like that. But you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, no question.
I mean, Gentry walks in there in February and goes, guys, we need to win or we're out of here. All right? That's the trainer. That's the assistants. That's the guy that does the mascot. That's everybody in that building. And guess who they're going to focus and work on?
They're going to focus on the guys that can do it now.
Yeah, they're going to have time and work on the second round pick that he can earn his shot.
Why do you think they traded the first round pick for Miracek? They didn't care about
exactly
if
right.
they didn't get Miracek, they were going to be on the street, and they now don't care if the Pelicans have a number one pick because I'm not there to draft somebody
with
that pick.
Well, I also think a part of that is the reason why if the Pelicans made it to the playoffs, and at that point they were still considered to be on the verge of making the playoffs, that means you drop out of the lottery. I think when it comes to the NBA, if you're not picking in a lottery, then you're basically almost wasting your time. Every now and again you'll find a David West or somebody like that in the bottom half for the draft, but if you're not a lottery team, then what's the point of even having a first round pick? That's why we see Dibs makes the moves that he's making. He doesn't expect to be a lottery team anytime in the near future.
It's just different than the way that they have in the NFL. Jordan?
Well, in the NFL, you have so many more picks, so y'all are saying that the NBA has more busts, but there's only 60 players being
right.
picked.
That's my point. How can you not find 60 people that can play basketball?
Yeah, but then if you look at the NFL and they're doing better, look how many busts there are. It's probably doubled in the NFL than it is in the NBA.
I'm just saying, to me,
players.
I don't know how you can't find somebody that can't play some either defense, pass, or shoot a mid-range jumper. It goes back to Brian. They're just not working on the fundamentals. They're just not there. They all want to get drafted. They all want to get to the next level and be lottery picks, and they're gone. They're not working, Jordan, when they go to college for that one and done. They're already looking at how they're spending their money in April. There's no doubt. Hour three continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Down to the love shack. I got me a Chrysler.